Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Good Night Dad podcast. This is our third episode, but it's our first episode where we're actually going to be interviewing what I would call a rock star dad. Part of the vision for this podcast originally, at least in my mind, was the opportunity on occasion to bring in what I would call a rock star dad. And that term, that title may be intimidating to certain people. It might be intimidating to our interviewee today. He is that nonetheless. And everybody out there who's listening, I know that you know a rock star dad. And that doesn't mean that they've got everything figured out. That doesn't mean that they've reached this level of perfection in all aspects of dadhood or fatherhood. It just means that you look to them in a particular area where they seem to have, to use an MCA term, a level of mastery in that area. I'm joined again, as always, I'm General Eccles, joined by Brandon Schumann. Hey, Brandon.
Here I am.
And our guest this morning is Colin Peterson. Brandon, where are we going?
Well, we're
going
to bring in Colin, and Colin has a unique story and a great perspective about being a dad, and I'm excited about him getting to share his story and the journey that's brought him to being the father that he is. And I consider it a great honor that I can call Colin a friend. Colin has been a youth minister for a number of years. He was a youth minister at Midland Bible Church, has been at Crown Quest for the past 5 years. But most importantly, what we're bringing him in for are not those things. It's the type of dad that he is. He's an MCA dad. He has two boys at the grammar school. He just seems to be doing life right in a lot of ways. Like you said, not perfect, but I've learned a lot from Colin. And so I asked him to come on the program today to help share some of his perspective about being a father to the larger MCA community. So Colin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Colin, would you be willing to share your story with us, your journey of how you became the father that you are?
Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting story. I grew up in a divorced family. Parents divorced when I was 4 years old. My father had a less than influential impact on my life, just simply because he wasn't there. He wasn't around. So that was difficult. I never personally took responsibility for my parents' separation. The Lord did give me a twin brother. Much of what a father would do with a son, I often did with my twin brother. And so that, looking back, a great blessing growing up.
You said that your father didn't have much of an influence on your life. I would think his absence was influential in many ways.
And that's a good point. His absence did teach me many things. And in some respect, it taught me what not to do. As a teenager, I began to pursue, you know, what is it like to follow God? What is it like to be a man of God? And so not having a male influential, godly influential role model there, I began to pursue it through mentors and disciplers, and some of them weren't Christians. My sixth grade teacher, Larry Squire, my journalism teacher in high school, Vince DeMuro, college, Glenn Johnson, in seminary, Walt Baker. These are all men, not all were believers, who had an amazing impact on my life growing up, teaching me how to be responsible, teaching me how to be respectful, and later on, teaching me how to be godly. In a sense, I was in pursuit of what it could be like to be a godly man if I actually just asked those who might already be pursuing that.
At what point, Colin, did it move from a pursuit of Christ and that ideal, theologically or faith-wise, to specifically being a better father?
You know, I got married. I married a fantastic woman. The Lord blessed me with a great wife. We had two children, and we waited to find out the gender. So out pops Roman. He's a boy. It's a boy. Colin, you have no experience of being a father, of seeing a godly example growing up. But here, Colin, and the Lord didn't say this to me audibly, but it's like, here, be a mentor, be a discipler, raise a son. And then I had another son, Cole. Here, don't do it just simply once, do it twice. And so the reality is I had two boys, and so it was time to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And did I have any experience in that? No, other than what was taught me as a teenager or a young adult. Hey, Lord, let me pursue walking in the Spirit, following your lead, and raising up my two boys to love and honor you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that verse up. You referenced Ephesians 6:4, and I was talking with General just before the program. This is a verse that I want to constantly put in front of all of us. Ephesians 6:4 again says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And so, Colin, what are some ways that you look to do that with Roman and Cole?
Well, I try to be intentional, Brandon. I look at teachable opportunities, teachable moments. And for me, those quantity times or moments become quality. And so I never really know the time that I spend with my boys, what's going to be impactful? What's going to have long-lasting effects? Maybe, just maybe the Lord will use some of those in the future. And so I try to be intentional, teaching them to love and honor the Lord. I was actually faced with the reality that in the MCA environment and being a part of MCA grammar, my wife, who's a rock star wife, to use your terms, General, does a fantastic job. But I soon became cognizant of the fact that my wife was doing a lot, and what was I doing? You know, maybe I would read a little book on Martin Luther or that, or a little history lesson, but what was I doing? And so I decided that, hey, I'm the man, I need to lead, I need to lead and be a godly example, and part of being intentional would be then to walk through passages of Scripture with my boys. Just simply read Bible stories or a Bible story book that is theologically based and accurate and sound, and then begin the discussion. Well, what does God say here? What does God say there? What do you think of this? And that's when my boys began to ask some pretty amazing questions. There's no formula for this. This is quantity becoming quality and just being intentional. So now, right before bed, it's what we call man time. We read Scripture. We pray together. Sometimes we read books, you know, C.S. Lewis or, you know, what have you, some really good books. We utilize that time as man time. It's interesting because my wife's purposely not in the room, but she overhears some of the discussions we have. Sometimes it's a 10, 15, 20-minute discussion based on our discussion. It's like, well, let's pray. Well, what do we pray about? Well, let's begin to pray about what we just discussed. Lo and behold, I'm teaching my boys how to pray just simply by talking about the things of God. Mm.
And actively demonstrating the pursuit of Christ.
I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a super spiritual guy. You know, it's flattering for you to say I'm a rock star dad or what have you. I'm just an intentional dad who's fumbling, stumbling forward and trying to follow the Lord in this. I'm very thankful for the blessing and the result that He has allowed me to see thus far. I'm just trying to be intentional. And so that would be my encouragement to the dads out there.
That's what God commands us to do as dads. We are the foundation for our children's education and upbringing. On our judgment day, it's not going to be an acceptable answer when God says, "How'd you educate your kids?" Well, that was my wife's job. That was MCA's job. That's not going to fly with our Heavenly Father. Mm. God understands us. He calls us to what's good and perfect, but He understands that we're not going to be perfect. And as long as we're stumbling, fumbling forward, admitting our faults, and trying to be faithful with the things that He's commanded us to do, that's what the definition of faithfulness is. I'd like to bring in a couple of additional thoughts from Amy Avampato on what the impact of being a dad is at MCA. One of the things that Amy refers to fathers, she says the dads are the backstop. What she means by that is that dads are that security blanket, that foundation from which students, when they go to MCA, they have the confidence in who they are, in their belonging, in their family, to then go and succeed and flourish in academics or socially in whatever it is that they're doing. It really provides that foundation for children to grow and flourish and thrive outside of the home. And those may not be things that we get to see specifically as dads, but just the impact and influence that we have and the opportunity that we have to make that kind of impact is huge.
To speak to that, Brandon, the one thing I've discovered with my wife and in our home is that the role of the father, especially when it comes to Amy's referencing as a backstop and just the security of that family-wise, is that there'll be times where I get home and Leah is just faithful to communicate that this is what's happened, this is what was said, and she'll even recommend what she thinks needs to be communicated. But she always finishes that with, "And this needs to come from you."
Yes.
That's my green light, basically, without me having to have been there and experienced it, to just step into a role that God has ordained. And it's amazing the effect that that has. I would just challenge dads that we talked about the quantity of these opportunities and times. Even if you physically can't be there, have a relationship with your wife where she can get you caught up and you can immediately, with that God-ordained authority, address whatever it needs to be addressed. And the results are amazing.
And what a gift our rock star wives are when they do that. Because,
amen.
Because we, as dads, can be oblivious to those needs. We may not be there. We're out working when those teachable moments come up. But our wives are very much aware of those things. And when they bring it up to our attention, that gives us an opportunity to be a dad that we may not have had otherwise. Very thankful for our rock star wives in the process.
Amen.
Well, Colin, how, just practically, I imagine that there's dads out there listening that, or maybe they're in a situation where they're new to the MCA environment, a grammar school mom that maybe hasn't figured out that she can do this, and they come home to a different environment where maybe mom's emotionally rolled up in a corner and defeated and literally crying and screaming for help, versus maybe the more subtle trap for a dad not to engage is the mom's a rock star and she seems to really have full command of what's required as the mother on a homeschool day. And I would imagine everybody's somewhere in between those two. Those are the extreme cases. But whenever you say you're intentional, what practical instruction would you give to a dad anywhere on that spectrum of how is it that you engage?
I come home from work and I take some time to talk to my wife. Part of that time is to get clued in as to what has happened during the day or what successes and struggles we've had. What I've learned often through those discussions is how can I come alongside my wife and lead? And I've learned what they've done well or what they've needed some help on. My perspective on that is, well, let's tackle it. And I may be tired, but by golly, turn off the TV. Say, we're going through flashcards. We're doing this. We're doing that. Just get it done. I think dads have to be willing to ask questions, tough questions, of their wives. Like, how are you really doing? And how are the boys doing? You know, what can we do differently? I do know that my oldest is going into third grade, and things change a little bit in third grade where there's a lot asked via the curriculum of parents. I'm fully aware, had the discussion last night, that I'm going to have to step it up a bit and be intentional about, in addition to reading or having man time with the boys, I've got to read some history and then also chime in.
You get to learn with your sons.
You know what? That's one of the things that I love about MCA is a lot of this stuff that they're learning. It's like I either want to relearn or just learn for the first time.
I would imagine there's more than we think that had your experience where dad was basically non-existent. And I would imagine that there's a great portion that have my experience where divorced parents, but a stepdad that was there for almost my entire life. It was obvious that he cared for me and loved me, provided for me. He was there. I can say that without any hesitation. He was absolutely there, but he never got in bed with me and read me a story at night, even when I was in third grade. How would you encourage dads that maybe that was their experience? And
I'll just be frank. I'm the one that leads the show. I'm the one that takes the initiative. The boys are often, I mean, they may be tired or what have you, but it's like, well, maybe this will be a little bit shorter than it normally is, but we're doing it.
We're doing it.
To go back to your question, just tackle it little by little by little. If the parent might struggle to initiate some of this stuff, then just read something short or have a conversation or say, hey, I want to pray for you instead of with you. Something manageable where the father could be successful in changing or altering a relational dynamic that might be uncomfortable at first, but then progresses quite nicely. Things are great. Can you read to us? Oh, can you read one more, please? It didn't start off that way. I actually remember opening like a NIV Bible, and I thought, well, NIV is a translation where it's easier to understand. It's not New King James or Old King James Version. We're going to discuss a psalm. And so I read through the psalm, and then I'm thinking, oh, my word. What have I done? I need to probably take a little bit different approach here rather than cram theology down my little kid's throat.
They weren't begging for more that night?
No, they were not.
Well, one of the things that I hear you saying, too, is you're able to have those man times and those meaningful conversations because you engage in other ways, too, like through wrestling or throwing baseball and just getting involved. As dads, we can really provide that foundation to speak into our kids' lives and be intentional in those moments by being intentional through play and getting involved in things that our children enjoy, whether it's baseball or camping or ballet, and just trying to be involved in their world. And then that gives us the platform as dads to speak further truth in some of those maybe softer moments.
It's interesting that we talk about the man time before bed. Well, it doesn't always have to be before bed. We have, you know, man time on Saturday mornings, or man time when I take one or both the boys out for a milkshake, or go get a donut, or go to the pet store. And it's those times which I call windshield time. I didn't invent this. I got this from another parent years ago, but windshield time, when children are in the car with you and you turn the radio off and you just talk or just ask questions. You never know what's going to come up. You never know what's going to come up when you stop off at Sonic and pay attention. As Cole and I were doing the other night, we got a milkshake and we're like, okay, you take one bite, I'll take one bite, you take one bite. Calling each other out on how many bites we were actually taking. You know, it was fun, but conversation comes up. It may not be about boys or girls or theology. It may be about, you know, what do you think of this Lego piece, or, you know, or this Lego set? This is quantity. Hopefully, Lord willing, it'll turn into quality and then turn into something meaningful when the chips are down, when times are tough, when they're teenagers, when they're older, maybe when they're in their 20s, maybe when they're married, and then the parental shift takes place.
I'd like to just conclude with some takeaways as dads. I mean, there's a lot that you've shared that is very inspiring. It's inspiring to me. As dads, find a way to be a regular part of your child's life, whether that's through the sports that they play or the activities that they do, or creating your own, but find some way to be a part of your child's life. Model and teach what's right. It is our job as dads to speak truth and to speak life and to speak scripture into our child's lives. So take the time to intentionally do that. And then as mistakes come up, as they inevitably do, I mean, first of all, we can humbly admit our own, but then also discipline and offer loving correction when our children make mistakes and when they sin. Those are the takeaways: to be intentional and to get involved.
I would agree wholeheartedly.
One way I would encourage dads is, there's never a better time to start than now. If anything that's been said in this interview with Colin really strikes a chord with you, you can see where your family's lacking, where you're lacking personally maybe, there's never been a better time to start. Start becoming a rock star in that particular area. The thing I want to encourage dads with is, just from a spiritual standpoint, is that the resources are available for you to be everything that God intended you to be as a father for these particular sons and daughters, for this particular woman who's your wife, and this household that he's given you authority in. And one thing that helped me just early on, and I'm still learning it and maturing in the understanding of it, but God's resources are available to us, and it's a powerful thing. And we're talking today just about the power, and it's a superpower in a sense that we're given as dads. Brandon and Colin and I and you, whoever's listening, that God hadn't just blessed you with kids. He's blessed you with the ability and all the resources necessary to thrive in that, to be an outstanding father, to be exactly what's needed, to be surgical in the precision and the timing of understanding those kids, the uniqueness of them, as Colin spoke to about his kids, and just been able to operate that way, and the freedom that gives you as a father, and the blessing that is as a family. Colin, we appreciate your time. Thank you for everything that you offer. I invite anybody who's listening, whenever you see Colin around MCA or at work, around town, whatever, pick his brain. Man, guys, we got to be looking, and we got to be searching to get better at stuff. And Colin is one of those resources that I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about spiritual and just from within. Colin, Brandon, other dads at MCA. And in that regard, I'd encourage everybody, as the school year comes through, we've got a thing called the Dad's Breakfast that it's only once each semester, once in the fall, once in the spring. I would really encourage dads, be looking for that to come up. And if you just absolutely can't be there, talk to somebody who was, and be talking to other dads, whether you can make it to Dad's Breakfast or not. As iron sharpens iron, that's another mandate. We got to be hitting, in a sense, so that we can be refined.
As iron sharpens iron, so one dad sharpens another.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I like that. We're going to close with that today, and just pray God's blessings on everybody listening. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad Podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness.